Call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order on March 21st, 2023 at 19:02. If all would rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Just happy that everybody remembered that it was the 21st and not the 14th. I don't know how many of you guys came up here and sat in empty chairs, but hopefully none of you did. Maybe the chief. We'll open up then for public comment. Okay, we'll move on then to agenda review and adoption. If there's nothing to add or change, I would look for a motion to approve as written.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Consent agenda. Look for motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moving seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Chief, you're up.
Much better. Good evening, Mayor and Council. So we got a few things to go over here looking at the agenda. I'll try and make it short and sweet as always. Starting off with the 2022 annual township report. There isn't a whole lot to report on that. We ran 52 calls last year. I think, 44 of them were in Hamburg. And then four in Washington Lake Township, and the other six were in Young America Township with three mutual aid. Outside of that, there's nothing really to report. They didn't have any questions for me. It was business as usual as far as how the department's salaries and budget and everything went for them. So I guess if you guys have any questions about it, neither one of them had any questions for me. So if you guys are okay accepting that or have any questions.
Council, any questions?
No.
Was that gathering in lieu of the fire board meeting or was that the fire board meeting?
No, was under the understanding that fire board meetings only happen when there's like large changes happening within the fire department, like truck purchases, or let's say if we make a rate increase per unit in Washington Lake Township or Young American Township. That's where we'd have a fire board meeting prior to a township meeting. This was just their annual township meeting that both Washington Lake and Young America do on the same night. Normally it's a council meeting night too, so that's three stops by 7:30, 7:45. So yeah, that's all that was. And I told both townships, I said, if you guys want fire board meetings, I said, I'm more than happy to host them and chat with any comments or concerns. I said, as of right now, we're not making any large purchases or anything like that that's affecting either one of the townships. So I told them right now, everything is business as usual.
Right.
Moving on. The outdoor warning siren criteria. So as I was waiting for this to start up, I went and looked up the email that Jeremy was referencing to. And they're looking to make some changes. And I have nothing against any of these changes. So the changes would be right now they do testing on the first Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. from March to October. They activate the sirens for 70 mile an hour plus winds. And right now there's no activation due to any hail size. What they're looking to do is year round testing, first Wednesday of every month. Their siren representative stated that they recommend to test the sirens year round to cycle the batteries and ensure that they're working properly. I have zero issue with that. Wind speed for activation, 80 plus mile an hour winds between 70 and 80. I really don't see much difference, but if they want to move it up to 80, that's fine. And then a hail indicator activation, you're talking 2¾ inch, which is about baseball size. I have zero problem with that. Luckily, we don't experience that too much here, but if that's something that's coming through, we definitely want to alert our citizens. With this, if they go with the changes on this, one thing coming up this spring and maybe like a, I don't know, like a bi-monthly reminder in the newsletter is a reminder to our citizens that sirens are not an all-call for you to come outside of the house and see what's going on. 9 times out of 10, that is what happens. People hear sirens and they come, you know, the tornado siren, and they come walking out their front door. It's not just a Hamburg thing. That's fairly common across the Midwest and probably the tornado belt as well. But it's just a reminder that, you know, if we can get in, you know, in the next few months, maybe bi-monthly, put that in there to remind people that stay inside, you know, away from windows. We don't need to. We're out for weather watch too. We don't want to have to go and pick somebody up because they got smoked in the head by a piece of hail or a branch or a power line. It's, you know, it's for their safety. So
Facebook Live is probably not a good
thing. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it from the basement of your house, go right on ahead. This Mayor of Hamburg checking in from the safest spot in my house, the basement. Perfect. If you're doing it from your driveway.
It's double checking.
Yeah. So are there any questions on that? I will tell you guys right now, the fire department protocol for our weather spotting is we get an active 911 sent out to all of our phones when there is a thunderstorm warning. And that comes from dispatch and the National Weather Service. It is up to the officers to make a decision on whether or not we want to go out and watch the storm that's coming through. Since the officers all have large radios, we can hear McLeod County, we can hear Sibley County. So a lot of times we can hear what they're going through before it gets here. A lot of times just with dispatch being we are on the western and southern edge of the county, when they're sending out information about a storm coming, it's either here or it's past. So if they send out a notification, say, hey, there's a thunderstorm warning coming through, that's up to the officers to make a call based on our radars, you know, on your phone, TV. Talking with dispatch, they said the radars we have on our phone are just as good as the ones they have down there. We're not, you know. So we make a call as officers if we think it's going to be potentially threatening to send our trucks out on watch. We no longer do weather watch at night because you can't see anything. You're looking for, you know, basically a tornado between flashes of lightning. And the way storms move, it could be a mile away 1 minute, you not see it, and on top of you the next. So it's only daytime storm watching. If dispatch sends out a tornado warning, we report to the hall and move out from there into weather spotting. And then once something is done, if it's severe enough, we do make rounds in town and our rural fire area as well, just to make sure everybody's hunky-dory. So any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Moving on. I sent you guys all a list of the fire hydrants along with a screenshot of our active 911 mapping. This is on all of our phones and on all the iPads that we have in the truck. And it tells you, you know, pictorial wise where each fire hydrant is. And then there's a description as to address where it is in location, so when we pull up on these hydrants, we know what we're looking for before we get there. And then I also included at the top of the list, we had talked at last council meeting, I believe it was, there are some fire hydrants in town here that are not up to, I don't want to say standards, but a lot of them just have 2-2.5 inch connections, and that is not good for us. We can't flow as much water through 2-2.5 inch connections compared to a 5 inch. I know 2.5 plus 2.5 equals 5, but the hose constriction and friction loss in the hoses prevents us from pulling the amount of water out we need. So in the future, like I listed in there, this isn't anything I want or expect to happen immediately. This was just a plan or an idea brought to you guys per request. List of fire hydrants I would replace in order that I would replace them, starting with Brad Street and David Avenue, being there is no fire hydrant on that corner. And Mill and Overlay project isn't this summer, but next summer. So being in the road construction business, if that one can happen plenty of time before the Mill and Overlay, that gives the road chance to settle out. So you guys don't mill and overlay and then have to go put a patch in. So that's why I put that one on there first. And then after that, it's Henrietta and Jacob. That's right in front of the community hall. Obviously, that's a pretty big building. If something ever happens to that, we're going to need a lot of water quick. The next one down is the one right by Parkside, or now Know-It-Alls. It's right on the alleyway. That's also only a 2.5 inch connection. So as you guys can see, I just went down the list at the ones I felt were probably needed the most. The park is on there by the bathrooms. Again, you know, those buildings down there, you know, something happens, those buildings are in close quarters with each other. It doesn't take long for fire to move. So are there any questions on any of that?
Do we even have a ballpark on what this takes to put one in? Obviously for priority number one.
I don't know price-wise. That would be something Hennings would, because they do your guys' water main break stuff.
$5,000 to $8,000.
Yeah.
Probably to put a hydrant in.
Okay. So I know like where a lot of like 2.5 inch hydrants are, a lot of times that's just replacing the top half, because your pipe main from coming up from the water main is the same size. They basically just put a new top on.
Oh, okay.
And then you're delivering the same amount of water. The one on David and Brad Street would be more, because you would have to come off the main and then go up.
Yeah.
Price wise, I don't know what that would be, but I'm sure Hennings, I think that's who takes care of all your guys' water main stuff. They would be able to get you a price on that.
And when you say getting that one installed ahead of time, so you're talking this summer?
It would ideally, yes. I mean, if not, these are things that can happen throughout the course of winter. Down where I work, we have water main breaks and stuff all the time in the winter, hydrant replacements, valve replacements. Takes a little more because the ground's frozen, but it's not impossible. So ideally this...
If you replace it, obviously it needs time to settle and further get to a frost, but I mean, some people are driving over potholes, so we're having
Yeah, it ideally, if it could be done and you let it sit for, ideally if it could be done this summer and it could let sit for a month or two with just gravel in it, and then a layer of asphalt could be put in so the gravel doesn't keep pushing out, and that could be monitored. If there is settling, a little more asphalt could be put in before the final mill and overlay, and it could just stay at that depth. And what we call blinding the edges, so you know, they'll cut a square in the road and then they'll put asphalt basically up to the edge, so it's not a sharp 90 degree surface, so snow plows will ride over it pretty easy. So ideally that would be the way to go, but I understand, you know, this is, we got money to think about, and it's not something we can just, you know, hammer out right away, but that's how preferably I would like to see it. But
I'd like to, where would that come from? Like, just, you know, in a situation like this where it's not budgeted for this year, how would we make that happen to time this appropriately?
Well, there's a couple options we could have. We could look at tapping into the water fund, or we could look at tying it in with the street project, but just this would be a precursor. You know, we have money set aside for street improvements. I mean, we have improvements, so we could use that money that we have stored in the city savings account, you know, and just make a transfer, a quick transfer this year, approve the transfer and get it done this year.
Yeah, there's no sense of waiting to me.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that's needed and we're going to consider doing it, it makes sense to do it now, like you said, so it settles and then. And then, you know, then we don't have, you know, that dip in the road or whatever when they do the road or breaking up or.
Right. Yeah. And just for reference, so after looking at the map of the hydrants, being there is no hydrant right now at David and Brad Street. If you go down David Avenue all the way to the east, that hydrant that's on the east side next to George Street is a hydrant with only two and a half connections. So two things is one, we're not going to be able to flow the water we need to. And second of all, if we have to respond to a fire that's, you know, say like 618 David Avenue or on that west end, whoever is operating the engine or in charge would have to remember to come around basically the opposite way. When we respond to calls, Brad Street runs straight north and south and gives us access to everything we need to. It's the closest point of access to us. So for someone to be thinking, hey, we got to turn down Kim and come in the wrong way, it's not going to happen. I mean, that's a tough thing to be thinking about if you got house fire on your mind. But that's why this one I feel is probably the most important one.
I was thinking I'd tap our engineer and just have him give me ballpark figures for next meeting.
Yeah, be good to have those numbers. Just you an know, estimate like on both, like
straight up add and then just a replace. I'll get some ballpark figures for both.
Yeah,
I'd make note of that. So,
all right, any other questions on that? All right, moving on. Air pack purchases. So, over the last, well, I don't know, half a dozen, if not probably 10 years, we've been replacing the air pack bottles for our air packs. Our air packs are, I want to say, 20, 25 years old at this point. And knowing we didn't have the money to replace them at once because they were like $14,000 a piece to replace bottles and the frames, we replaced the bottles first because after so long, once they get tested, if they're past 15 years, they won't even test them anymore. They just drill a hole in them, put them out of service. So all of our bottles are replaced. Now we're looking to replace the air pack frames. And since a couple of years ago when I talked with council and we were able to roll over any unspent budget that we've used, I talked with Jeremy and I believe there was $33,000 in there. So I'm looking for council to approve a purchase of four air packs, which would come to $24,144. Yeah, for four of them. Yeah. And these four would go on our first inline engine. And then as we have monies for the other ones or grant money, we're writing grants to try and, you know, get as many of these as we can without budgeting for them, without raising taxes, without doing any of that. So I'm just looking, since it is over the chief's $2,000 spending limit, I need a motion and approval for that. Not by much, but a little bit. in case any of you are thinking this question, I know some larger purchases are, you guys look for quotes. This is our only vendor in our area. They cover a 3 or 4 state area to sell what we're buying. So another vendor would be coming from, well, I would say maybe Nebraska or somewhere out there. So you're going to be paying more dealing with something further away. The vendor I've been dealing with for the past 3 years, she's absolutely wonderful. She gets us everything we need when we need it in a timely fashion, great response time. So I know that's been a deal before when it comes to larger purchases wanting quotes, but this is our vendor. Like it, we don't have many other options outside of this. So
with that, Stephen, do you see, we have $13,500 budgeted for radio replacement. Do you see any of those monies possibly being available this year to make those purchases for the air packs?
Yes, I do. That money I don't want to spend until later in the year. Just because it is so early in the year, if something happens with one of our radios, gets lost, ran over, you know, broken indefinitely, that would mean a purchase of a new radio. So I don't want to spend that money in case something does happen with our stuff, because that's what that money's allotted for right now. And at the end of the year, it would go into the, I don't know what you'd want to call it, the savings account or general equipment fund. So coming close to the end of the year, knowing that we wouldn't have any radio replacements or having to do anything like that, I would look to then spend some of that money on air pack frames.
So right now on the fire equipment CDs, there's 33,800 in there.
Council?
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know what you need. I can't tell you different.
So,
how many air pack frames are there?
If we replace every single one on the department, which we will have to do at some point, it's 14 or 15, and the total bill for that is $90,000 or $89,000, something like that, to replace all of them.
Are they all the same age?
Yes. No? They were all bought with a grant 20 something years ago. So it's, they are due. We're running into a lot of issues, and we're begging, borrowing parts from some to make others work. We had a training the other night where one of our trainers said he's got some junk air packs. If we need some parts, we can let him know. But this is a huge life safety deal with the department. When we go into fire, this is our only breathing air. So it's without them working properly, it could be a big deal real quick. I think you guys know that. No need for me to beat it to death, but
so then along with that, I think that's something we should be looking at next year budget wise.
We definitely can
into the budget.
I've been trying to, you know, limit raising the budget if I don't have to. And where we're going, like, we'll see how grant writing goes and stuff like that. You know, I'm obviously replacing the air packs and the vehicles we use first, so it'd be our frontline engine. And then it'll be our heavy rescue, and then it moves on to our backup engine. So trying to do it that way, and trying to have it so not everything's purchased at one time, so it doesn't have to be purchased at one time again in the future. It's spread out, so it's not one lump sum.
Mm-hmm. So right now you're looking for four frames, and you said it'd be $24,144. Is that
correct?
Council, we'd need a motion to have that approved.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to approve the purchase of four air pack frames for $24,144.
Councilmember Weber, second.
So moved and seconded to approve the purchase of four air pack frames for $24,144. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes.
Thank you. Next on the list, I would look for council to accept the resignation for firefighter Anthony Van Haften. He turned in a resignation letter on March 13th, effectively dating his resignation for March 17th. After talking with him, he had to get different jobs. The one he had wasn't working out and was forced to move from his apartment. He had to move to Waconia, which one puts him out of our response area. He told me he had planned on moving back into town within a month, two at the most. And I said, well, we'll just leave things the way they are. If you can come back within that time, well, within that time frame, he had told me he was unable to fulfill what he needed to do, and didn't think it was right for him to let down his fellow firefighters and citizens. So he just wanted to be done. And I said, if that's what you choose, so be it. With that, I will also move. We have to open his Chief 3, the training chief position. I'm looking from this point on to open a 2-month period as to where applicants can come in, drop off applications for the job. Right now, there is an officer already that's interested in the position. So once that 2 months is up, if that officer gets that position, we would have to open his officer position. And I'd only look to make that a 1 month opening, because we in the fire service know what's happening, you know, within our own department. So in order to, if one of our officers moves up to that position, there's no need to open that next position up for 2 months because people already have it on their minds as what to do. So it just gives them time to get the paperwork filled out and stuff. So,
Council, I guess any questions for the chief in regards to the resignation? Otherwise, I would look for a motion to accept the resignation of firefighter Anthony Van Hapten.
I make a motion to accept the resignation for firefighter Anthony Van Hapten.
To move and seconded to accept the resignation of firefighter Anthony Van Hapten. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Start your clock.
Will do. Thank you. And the last on the list is the offensive behavior training.
Yeah, is that something you guys would be interested in doing in one of your trainings, tied in with one of your trainings?
I mean, we can. I guess I would need to.
Everybody. So it'll be council, staff, and firefighters.
We most certainly can. I just need more details on how long it is and type of deal. But yeah, we can most definitely probably squeeze it in. We run two trainings a month right now, so it'd be one of the first two Mondays after this, or get something lined up. So
maybe May.
May could work.
Shoot for that.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to see if that works for attorney.
Yeah, we'll have to talk with our training captain, Stephen Buckentine, as well, just to see what he's got on what he's got on the docket and see if we can't make things work that way.
Okay. We can try and get something set up before the next meeting. That'll be good.
Yep. All right. Are there any other questions for me?
Also,
nothing here.
Wow.
All right.
Got off pretty light then.
Yeah. I'm still you probably the longest light. I've sat in this chair. But... All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Chief. Thanks, Chief.
Mr. Buckentine. How does it feel to sit on that side of the table?
Good.
I bet it does.
Congratulations to you, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, so Jason started the 7th?
Yeah.
March 7th. So got 2 weeks in.
Well, I saw he was already using the tool cap.
Yeah, nice. I think learned a lot already in just the 2 weeks, but...
Yeah.
It's been good so far.
Good.
So just kind of a couple of things we got, and then I got on the agenda, and then if Jason wants to add anything to it, he can. But do we want to look at keeping what we have Precious on right now that's doing what's doing cleaning for us when we didn't have a maintenance person? We were just wondering if bring it forth to council if we want to keep her on. Maybe just as an as-needed basis when maybe Jason's got time, or do we just want to say, all right, Jason's taking full responsibility for cleaning duties too now?
Yeah, Jason, he thinks he can, he wants to, or?
Well, I'm not really sure how it goes. Like in summer, like, am I going to be that busy or not? Would kind of an on-call thing for her? I don't know.
I think I plan on keeping her right now because you're going to get spring graduation parties, all that, weddings.
You know, my thought process is just as needed.
As needed, yeah.
Yes, as needed. Well, the problem we had in the past is Greg would get busy, right? And a lot of times this place would get neglected the most. The hall was usually always taken care of because that was made a priority. I'm more concerned about here, where it just kind of gets left and it does look pretty shoddy at times. So I would say, you know, especially for this place when we start getting into and you know, and what we've done is we've got a floor scrubber coming from Global Industries So our thought process is we'll put that one up there. We'll look at the battery. Well, now we decided that we wouldn't need batteries because of the time.
Yeah, because you said it runs a half hour. Yeah. So
we figured that old scrubber then we could bring up here. I don't know if you guys use that old it works.
I mean, as of right now, it works. I think you just put new batteries in here not that long ago, a year or two. So, I mean.
But we even thought of putting that old one up here and then you can scrub up here and it'll take you half the time versus because this has all been hand mopped. So, but we can save time that way too. So we've been looking at some things, you know, about how we can save some time and monies. But so we'll just kind of do that for now, just kind of as needed. I'll stay in touch.
Makes sense.
And then just also, we just want to talk about on-call and rounds and weekends. Kind of, me and Jason have talked kind of the protocol will be that he'll do rounds when he's available. If he's gone, he'll let me know. And then if I would happen to be gone, if it doesn't work out that same weekend, what I would like to do is then maybe we create a chain of command. Who's then do we go to, or, you know, so he's not has to worry about that all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe even if it's just two people from the council, that would be, you know, and we try to give the heads up the best we can. It's not to say that all of a sudden there's a birthday party and we're both at birthday parties in Bloomington or out to eat where there's an issue. That I think maybe our thought process, we just put a list together of names and numbers, and then we just go down that list if we get to that point. I mean, like I said, it's worked for us for, I don't know, I've been here 20 plus years, so I haven't really had any issues, because a lot of the times is it's not you that's dealing with it. You just need to know who to call to deal with that emergency.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing right now, is we're going to get a sheet put together with all the important numbers, be laminated in the water treatment plant. So if there ever was an issue, boom, that would be your go-to. And then we'll try to label it for water locates, water repair, sewer, lift station, whatever. Versus, I don't know, doing a rotating shift. I mean, that would be an option too. But Jason said as long as he's around, he doesn't have an issue doing it. Kind of the same thing we've done in the past. So,
and the bulk of that, like, so, that's checking the lift station.
Yeah. So the main thing is getting the readings.
The readings, yeah.
You know, so there's three spots. So you'd have the lift station, the grinder station down on Jacob.
Or that's what I'm doing.
Yep. Okay. And then you got the water treatment plant where you got to do the readings.
I rolled around Jason on Saturday and it took 20 minutes.
Yeah. Takes about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt for all of us to know and exactly. Have a copy of that list even. Yeah. Because
and I think that's the most important thing. You know, a prime example I can give you is when it was just me and Chris calls me and goes, the grinder station alarm's going off. And I'm like, well, I'm on the airport to pick up my daughter. You know, but I had the city phone that has the numbers in. Boom. You make the phone calls, right? So even if you're away, sometimes you can still deal with an issue before, you know, you get there. And heck, I ended up getting back to the airport before the service guy came out even. So the main thing is just knowing what to do and who to call.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Even if there's like a master list that we all have,
yeah.
You know,
and I think that's what we're going to put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it makes good sense.
And then we'll just create a chain of command and get things taken care of. And Kurt's always been great.
He's
too.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Well, we've had issues like today.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us into the next thing. Is so the water, just give everybody a heads up. So if you want to go Facebook Live tomorrow morning, Chris, at 11, let everybody know, probably 11 or noon. Water,
yeah, he said around noon, somewhere on there, just east of the
car wash
there.
Yeah, we'll have to shut off the water in the street because the curb stop didn't work. So we got a resident that has a leak in their basement. We found the curb stop. No.
I would hope you would know.
When
that.
I first called, you were the one that came to mind. I was like, yeah, nope, it's across the street.
Kim's neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
and I text April letting Miller's know.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're this side of the car wash apartment, you'll be okay. But there we
see so you have to turn it off at have to
in the street.
After the, in the street.
At the car wash, so everybody, so you'll be
everybody east of the car wash.
Yep.
And then you'll replace that valve.
The other plumbers will come up. He said it'd take about 45 minutes to replace that valve in the basement.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Which,
so the water should only be out for an hour.
Yeah, about an hour.
Which I think that would be a good thing too for, I think for the next newsletter, put a blurb in there too about giving us a heads up when you're going to do work, plumbing.
Yeah, instead of a 10-minute notice.
All of a sudden, 10-minute notice and we need the water off and we got to dig 3 feet.
And they're paying for a plumber to sit there for probably an hour.
Yeah.
And then he's going to come back yet.
Yeah. Just to try to avoid, you know, because the problem is with them curb stops, it's a 50-50 roll of dice for them babies working.
Well, just to find them under 2 feet of snow.
That too is always fun. But that one.
Actually, that one we found pretty easily.
Pretty quick.
Okay.
So just a heads up. Yeah, water will be off. And there again, Kurtz was nice enough to and come in and walk us through it.
Tomorrow morning he's going to come in.
It's the protocol for replacing curb
stops. Well, right now it's our cost. And it's about $3,000 to $4,000 for everyone. You know, we were hoping, because I asked him too, would we be able to just freeze it? Because that's kind of been our backup. But it was a bit too close to the flange. And plus, I think Kurt said if it's dripping, it's hard to freeze water.
Running water.
You know, running through. So it won't freeze. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, 2 weeks in, he gets the joy of the first.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, but other than that, I think things have been going really well. And right now, Jason's working on cleaning out the shop and building some shelving and finding things to do.
2 weeks in, what's the any glaring tool wise? Nothing's jumping out yet.
No.
We've kind of sat down, went over the budget.
I got that backpack lower just because it's going to be nice to have and whatever. But other than that, I'm not getting nothing until I need it. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like even the pressure washer, I think all you had to do is replace the
$30 nozzle. That,
yeah.
I think that should fix it, not getting a new one. So, good deal.
All right. I don't have anything else.
Did you have on for the lawn mowing?
I would do under new business, but we can bring it up now too. But so I think it's the last page in the packet. If we just want to go ahead and start now running something.
Might as well, yeah.
I kind of figured that, but let's start going what we got there now. Just run that ad. For the 15 an hour or up to 20 hours a week. And we'll see what we get in.
Anything else there? No?
Nope.
Jason, have you checked on any of the hydrants with like the Bobcat or Toolcat in your travels? Like just to see if there's any snow in front of them.
Yeah, I went around and cleaned a couple out.
I know it was brought up at an officer meeting of ours. This was, I don't know, a month or two ago. And one of our officers was pretty concerned about it. So I drove around and checked our 27 hydrants. I think two of them were not cleared by residents. And one was up by the old water tower. Another one was down on the other end of town. But other than that, I think the residents have been doing a fairly good job. But I didn't know if you had noticed anything you're keeping an eye on with all this.
I didn't look at the one by...
Yeah, that one's up off the road a ways. That one.
I'll look at that tomorrow or whatever. But
20, 30 feet up off the road.
The other one's probably Jeff Campser.
Yep.
Yeah, that one I cleaned out.
Okay. Yeah, those are the only two that I noticed in my travels a few weeks ago. You know, probably a month or two ago. But outside of that, it seemed every resident had done a really good job of keeping them clear one way or the other.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And then we've tried to shape the alleys. So I know a lot of people have complained about the alleys, but. I don't know what we can do with this rain and that
there's
6-8 inches of ice and then there's like ice potholes in some of the alleys. It's brutal. It's just been, you know, one of those winters and Jason's tried to do the best he can to kind of shape them up or clean them up as it melts.
And then Miller's, who's in charge of the plowing down there again?
I think it's
Nick. Yeah, Nick. He talked to me and he said if it snows, they're not going through the alleys because they'll just make more harm.
Yeah.
So,
especially now, it's there's no frost.
No, my sump pump already started running.
Oof.
I was sitting there and I'm like, what is that sound? Then it went off again. I'm like, oh yeah, I know that sound.
Well, down in shop, it started getting a little wet already, and that sump pump's not working on the outside. So,
anything else for Jason? Jason, anything else for council?
Nope.
Yeah, well, welcome aboard. Move on then to old city business, the Trebish litigation.
Just so with that, when the official 30 days are up, is there anything we want to look at pursuing, or do we want to wait till the snow is gone as far as what the property's being used for? I'm just trying to get a jump on it before the weather. Yeah, that will definitely do. I've talked to a few on that. And then I'm just talking maybe like the zoning and the condition of the property as in public nuisance.
How long does he have to get that done, like the survey?
Well, 30 days. I haven't heard back from attorneys yet. Once I get that, I'll forward it to you as counsel. But I think it's just something if asking if we want to pursue it once we know our 30 days are up from when everything's been signed, that we pursue getting that cleaned up, I think. I mean, typically I don't till the snow is gone. So, but I would think as soon as the snow is gone, we're going to be on that.
Yeah.
On property.
Yeah.
Council, additional thoughts? Otherwise, sounds like we're going to let the snow melt, recede a little bit so we can get it in the condition we want it before we do any more. Okay, let's go with that route then.
Sure.
Move on then to new city business, the XL Energy transmission line rebuild.
All right, so I gave you a little bit of info that I got today from XL. I'm actually meeting with them tomorrow at 11 o'clock. They're going to be replacing their main transition line from North Young America all the way to Green Isle. So it'll come right through town here. So there's a map in there kind of giving you a listing of it. But so hopefully for the next meeting, I'll have a little more input on it. But it looks like it's about like an 8-mile stretch that they're replacing. And I think my biggest concern, I think everybody's biggest concern, where there'll be any interruption, you know, of service while they're doing this. So if you have any other questions or concerns with this, I mean, I don't think it's starting until spring 24, right? Mm-hmm. If I remember right, spring of 24 and then completed summer of 2024. So if there's anything or concerns you guys have with it, let me know.
We'll do. Okay. Next item is the use of the community hall for prom pictures.
Yeah, so they're looking, because of how the school year this year is at Central, prom is this weekend. So they were looking for sites where the kids could at least come in and take pictures. So it'd be supervised by adults, and they're just looking to have the hall open from 1 to 4 o'clock. To allow the kids, if they want, to come in to take pictures.
I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Like a deal.
I'll let them know.
And then the next item is the on-sale wine license approval for the Hamburg Baseball Club.
Yep, so just looking to receive their application, and we just want to get the ball rolling to make sure that they have it in place for when the baseball season starts here. So just looking for approval to approve their on-sale wine license for the baseball club.
Make a motion to approve the city auxiliary warning license for the Hamburg Baseball Club.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the city on sale wine license for the Hamburg Baseball Club. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. And the big mosquito conversation again.
Yes. So we are up to renew our contract. What we've done in the past is we've done a 3-year contract with them with typically the rate not to increase more than 3% each year. And it's roughly about the same price as last year at $285 per treatment. We do 15 treatments. It would be a total of $4,275. Is that something we want to continue doing with the mosquito spraying?
Is there a chance we can go back to doing it on Thursdays instead of Tuesdays?
I can talk to them about that, yes. I mean, I know that's, trying to remember what it was last time. I think they were going to charge us more, weren't they? If we wanted to move?
Well, it was like some of the other places because, they do in the area, they moved them to Tuesdays off of Thursday.
So let me plug that. Okay. Like Thursday, you thinking?
Yeah. I just, you know, kill the ones that are flying closer to the weekend than further away.
Tuesday.
And that's essentially all it does.
Kill them on Tuesday, rehatch on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if we can kill them on Thursday, then they don't rehatch maybe until Sunday morning or something like that.
Okay, let me check on that.
Okay, perfect.
Good. I'm guessing that's in the budget.
Yes. Yep.
You didn't read the budget? You don't remember the budget?
I just can't remember. That's the one thing I forgot.
All right. Any other new business?
Nope.
All right, hearing none, then we'll move on to city council reports. Councilman Polson. Oh, did I miss something? No, we did the part-time thing during the
Jason.
Jason's talking. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing here.
Councilwoman Weber.
Nothing.
Councilman Tracy.
Nothing here.
Couple things. We'll see if maybe if we can get that newsletter out this week, or early next week, one of the two, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
And then also, could you take a look at the sight lines of the cameras in the park?
We can change them a bit, maybe.
There's been a discussion about moving the little library.
Okay.
And because the books have been going missing.
Yeah.
And so we just, but we're not like seeing any debris anywhere. So, I mean, hopefully they're being used. I know there's no first editions in there, so no one's selling them. At least I don't think so. I don't think anybody's cobbling a book together with the used books, but who knows? We just wanted to know, the club wanted to know if there maybe was a good place to park, you know, maybe get with Jason too to see what would be a good place. And we can take it off of where it's at now and move it over there. And that's all I had.
We'll look at that.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to adjourn.
Councilmember Weber, second.
It's moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for March 21st, 2023. Is adjourned at 1951.